your hands.
Sorry, Mom. I do. I don't know. It's just the way God made me. I didn't have a say when I was made, so. But of course, I wouldn't tell Mother that. That would cost me a slap on my face. Okay, folks, this morning we are studying about the Holy Spirit in the lives of Moses, the elders, and the judges. So, the title of the sermon today is The Equipping Power Behind Their Actions. It is encouraging to know that God will never call you and I to do something that we can't do. And if He does call us to do something that we can't do, He will always equip us to do. Amen. No, you're saying, I thought you say some month ago that God will use our skills. He might. I thought you say that God likes to use unskillful people. I said that too. So what you're saying today? The same thing. What I want you to go away with today is the Holy Spirit is the most friendly person of the Trinity. He has been butting heads with us since day one. He was present on creation. He was present the pre-diluvians, pre-flood. And it came to a point that God was fed up, said, "My spirit shall not butt heads with men forever because they are flesh." This fleshy stuff has been around since the days of old. The spirit was there contending with men. But every single time that the spirit showed up on the Old Testament, one of the greatest things that he had was equipping people to do the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Every time that the Spirit shows up was to equip, to empower people to do things that they couldn't do on their own. So can God use my talents? Absolutely He can. But He'll make sure that my talents are limited so that the power of the Spirit can be manifest. And most of the time, God, you ask me to do things, ask you to do things in areas that you're not so strong, so that He can show His power on the doing of the work, and the work can be well done because it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we still together here? Throughout the book, in the Old Testament and New Testament alike, the Spirit of God has empowered ordinary men and women to do things that are crazy. Never in the history of humankind a man was able to walk upon the water except Jesus and Peter. Now, Jesus was God. Despite of the fact that Peter didn't have the Spirit back then, yet, because Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to the captives, He commanded Peter to walk on the water, and he did. So, whoa. I thought you were talking about the Spirit empowering people. Yes! And you know when you are under the leadership of somebody that is empowered by the Holy Ghost, you will be able to ride on the blessing, and the power of the Holy Ghost will also be poured upon you. Can I hear an amen here?
Amen.
And the proof is in Jesus. He told Peter. Peter see Jesus walk on the water. And then he goes on, "Lord, if that's you, command me to come." Sure, come on. And the Bible said that Peter stepped on the water and he walked. And he went to meet Jesus. You know how cool that is? Walking upon water. I tried that one time, it didn't work. But you know how cool it is? The Bible says in Luke that Jesus went to the synagogue on one Saturday and they gave him the books. And he opened the book of the prophet Isaiah and he said, "The Spirit of God is upon me." Because the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, the human side of Jesus could do things that he couldn't do otherwise. Like what? In that very same passage, they just gathered together to throw a stone on him, and he was able to walk through them, and they couldn't. What is he? Where is he? I don't know. He's here. Where is he? And they are looking, he walked away, and they couldn't find him by the Spirit of God. The apostle says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power, with the Spirit and power. That's in Acts chapter 30. Chapter 10, starting on verse 30. And he went around doing good and healing all the sick. Every time the Spirit comes upon somebody, has one purpose. Advance the kingdom of God. Advance the things of God. Every time the Spirit comes upon someone, he is empowering people to do what they can't do ordinarily. Now, people have a hard time believing that I was a kind of shy, low-key, no-talking guy. And this is who I was. That's one of the greatest fears had becoming a preacher. I don't know how to talk. I don't like to talk. I don't like to talk in front of people. Well, I don't have a say. Not even on this. Today she says I talk too much. Then I blame the Holy Spirit. I wasn't like that when I came into this world. Every time the Spirit shows up is to empower people to do that. Moses, we all know the story of Moses. God met him in the burning bush. Remember that? And God said, hey, I want you to go to Egypt and take my kids out. What? I want you to go to Egypt and bring my children out. But hey, wait a minute. I don't know how to talk. I stutter. I want you to go to Egypt. Lord, you don't understand. I can't talk. But I'm telling you to go. And stop talking back. I'll give Aaron to be your prophet. And you're going to be Aaron's God. Whoa. That's nice. And Moses did the great work that he did. Why did he do that? God placed his Spirit upon Moses. Prove it. Isaiah 63:11. Read it with me. Well, you know what? Let's, Brother David, can you go back? Three verses, so they can understand where I'm coming from. In all that affliction, he was afflicted. We're talking about God here. When the people of Israel were afflicted, the Bible says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. What a God. What a God. The angel of his presence saved them on the time of affliction. Did you see how super duper your God is? Hallelujah. Times of affliction, you get back up. Amen. The angel of his presence is right there to save you from the afflictions. He goes on. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. You messed up, he brought you back to himself. And he goes on. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Can you believe on that? He bore them. Do you understand what he's saying here? You know what? Let me have the NLT here. Maybe it will be easy. Everybody's looking at me like if I had three heads on my shoulder. In all their suffering, he also suffered, and he personally rescued them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them throughout all the years. It's just like picking up a baby and carrying a baby around. This is what your God does. Now let's go back to verse 10. But did we hear here that the people grieved the Holy Spirit? Well, I thought that the Holy Spirit was grieved only in the New Testament. No. He was grieved in the Old Testament too. The only difference is in the New Testament, you get knocked off. You get knocked off by the devil. In the Old Testament, God himself became your enemy. He says, so he turned himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. I don't want to be on your shoes having God fighting against you. Now, in the New Testament, because of grace, God will no longer fight against you. But you just move out of the way and the devil will beat you up. In a way, I'd rather be fought by God than by the devil, because at least God fights with mercy. You know, in the middle of the judgment, mercy's triumph, and the devil is merciless, unmerciful. But verse 11 says, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, what is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? What is he who put his Holy Spirit within them? Now, to get the people out of Egypt, and get them through the sea, just imagine, you're coming out of Egypt as a slave, you're running around with a bunch of gold and silver in your pocket, and then all of a sudden, the people that you plunder take off after you. And you look, you see the dust at $6.95. Panic is kicking in. People cry out to Moses. Moses cry out to God. Why are you crying out to me? Pharaoh's coming. And? Well, Pharaoh's coming. Do something. What do you mean to do? Hit the water with your rod. Yes. Hit the water. Water start dividing. There's a pile of water building up here. Some fishes that were not smart enough were jumping here because there ain't no water. There's a heap of water on this side. And another heap on this side. Somebody may just pick up, God inside there. What you doing over here? Then the place was all dry. And come on, guys, come on, come on. Pharaoh is still on $6.95. Come on, move. And they all start moving. Dry land. Meanwhile, the water is coming down your way. What happened? It's just piling up. And God had a purpose for that. What about the water this side? May have already gone. But this side is piling up. Are you with me? Did you see the water? He was gone? Yes. You know, the rivers, they all run into the sea. Y'all heard that? So it was cut in two. There was still some water here. But then the water is going away. And the wall of water is piling up higher and higher and higher and higher. How high? I don't know. And it's none of your business. God didn't tell you. So why are we going to speculate now? It couldn't be a little narrow way like this, because we're talking about some 5 million people. Plus children and the Egyptians that came along. Are you with me? So as the water is going out and the place is getting dry, everybody's rushing over this side. So after that 3 kilometers has been passed by, Pharaoh put his foot on the edge at the seashore. Haha, we caught them. We caught them. Come on, come on! They said, somebody dragging. Come on! Last person came out. The priest now walked through and came over this side. By now, Pharaoh is halfway. Moses look. Bye-bye. Touch the sea. And all that water is now 1,000 feet high. Shoo! Cover them. How did you do that? By the Spirit that was within them. The Spirit will empower you to do things that you can't do on your normal strength. My Lord. The same is, and since it is written that that the Spirit which indwelled Moses was also conveyed to the 70 elders, so that the Holy Spirit rested upon them also. What you're trying to say? Since Moses was a man full of the Holy Spirit, the 70 elders that was chosen by Moses also received the Spirit that was in Moses. What are you talking about? Moses married a black woman. And every morning he would come, sit down in his place. He spent the whole day judging the people. Thank you. I got your attention now. Why did you have to mention he married a black woman? I have a reason for this. So don't get excited. Stay with me. But I thank you for your attention now. Whole day helping people. His African father-in-law comes in. And he goes out and meet him and they kiss each other and they were happy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Second day, Jethro, come, where are you going? Go to my office. And he went to the door of the tent of the congregation to judge the people. And Jethro is watching him. Dude, what's the matter with you? It's dinner time at home. What's the matter with you? What do you mean, what's the matter with me? You spent the whole day on that blazing sun. Did you see the line? It's longer than Social Security line. You're going to kill yourself and you're going to wear the people. Well, they come to me for me to judge them. And that African man had wisdom. You know what? Listen to me. Instead of killing yourself and wearing out the people, why don't you choose elders and place them as captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of ten, and let them judge the people. And you judge only the cases that are very difficult and they can't handle. And it seems good in the eyes of Moses. And so he did. He says, choose for you people that are trustworthy and people that are loyal and put them as judges. So students say, why you mention black woman, now you mention black men? Because black people are not destitute of wisdom. It is the government that is trying to create a spirit of codependence. Did y'all listen to what I said? The idea that the black people can think is nonsense. They can be as smart as anybody else. It is the system that is trying to create a spirit of codependence. And when you create a spirit of codependence, you lose your self-esteem. You no longer depend on the Spirit of God to do the stuff that you might think you can't, because you get a handout from the government. The Spirit of God came upon them and empowered them to do the work. You know, let me show you some scripture. Brother, can you give me Numbers 11, 17? Read it with me. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take off the spirit that is upon you. Tell your neighbor, I've got the same spirit that Pastor Paul has. This is why it's smart for you to be in a church whose leader is filled with the Holy Ghost. God is able to give of the same spirit that is upon you, upon me. He's able to give it to you. Y'all can pray for sick people and they all can be healed. Y'all can prophesy. Y'all can be prosperous. It is the promise of God. I don't lay my hands, especially when they come for ministry, upon people. So I'm in a, anyway. No. Some people got mad and they left the church because I didn't mind them. Good trip. When you turn around, when you get to your senses, this door will always be open to you. But from the get-go, why? When I lay my hands on you and anoint you as leader, I am giving you part of the spirit that is upon me. And this is why we don't choose leaders just like that. I need people that are reliable, people that are loyal and are willing to carry the burden. Then God says, I will come down and talk with you among the people. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same spirit on them. Are we together so far? Be careful who you are under. You are under a leader with the spirit of greedy. It might rub on you. You are under leader with spirit of poverty. Run as fast as you can. You are under a leader that has a sensual spirit. Flee from that place. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear itself alone. Let's go to verse 25. Read it with me. Then the Lord came down in a cloud, and he spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened. Don't you love that? And it happened. And it happened. It's not that will. And it happened on the past. Huh? When the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied. So what is so special about this? Is the next sentence. Although they never did so. Why they didn't ever do it again? Because once the Spirit's upon you, he's there to stay. You're not listening. Once the Spirit is upon you, he is there to stay. Tell your neighbor, when the Spirit came upon you, he came to stay. Are we together so far? The Spirit of God capacitated those 70 elders to help to carry the burden, not to start their own ministry, not to start their own stuff. Are you with me here? The Spirit of God came upon 70 men to help Moses to build up the kingdom. Now, the problem that we have today, that most people are in churches looking for a name and look for a fame. I'll be honest with you, I kind of wrestled a little bit with the Lord this morning. Why do I have to preach a series on overcoming the spirit of inferiority? Most of the people in churches today are looking for something that they don't have. They are looking for the wrong thing. I don't need a name. I already got a name. And I don't have to make a name ruling over any one of you. I've got a name before I met any one of you. Why are you saying this? Because I know who I am. I know who I serve. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to carry on the work that He has started until that day. God wants the same Spirit that is upon me and upon Marcia to be upon you. How does that happen? On the days of old, God came in a cloud. What about today? He comes in when we are worshiping, when we are praying, when we are fasting. So many times, the glory of God has been present here. Angels have been around. The cloud of glory has been around. On those moments, God comes down. And the anointing that rests upon your leaders rubs on you too. I just got an invitation to go to preach on a healing school. And the person identified Miss Jones or Mr. Jones, I don't know if it's a man or woman. I was told to call. And I'm thinking, why don't you call Kenneth Copeland? There's going to be a healing school for 300 women. So far, 300 people are registered. And I'm supposed to be the main guest speaker. I don't even know these people. There's a name of the ministry, and the name of the ministry is See Jesus. And I'm thinking, something is not adding up. So the person then went on to say, I used to come to BCFC on the days of Pastor John McCall. He passed away, and I came to your services. I'm thinking, I don't have service, but I'll go along. Okay, go on. That name, See Jesus, is so powerful. And by being under you guys, that anointing is rubbing on me. And I went out, and I'm praying for women that are in desperation. And God is healing them at Walmart. God is healing them on the streets. So we decide to start a ministry for women in trouble. And what a better name to give to the ministry. See Jesus. Amen. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Here's somebody that's not even a member of the congregation. But just by coming and enjoying the fellowship with us, the anointing is rubbing on them. Folks, you are here because God brought you here. I do not believe in coincidence. I believe in Christ-cedence. Believe in what? Christ-cedence. Not coincidence. Christ-cedence. God brought you here for a purpose. And I believe is one of the purposes, not only to worship with us, but that the power may rub on you and we could advance the kingdom of God. Every single one that departed from here after got rubbed by some of some of the anointing and founded their own ministry, didn't do very well. So were you saying now that God brought me here to be always under your leadership? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, enjoy, soak as much as you can of the anointing until the right time when God tells you to go. If the reason you're here is just to get some of the anointing going inside you and stuff, it ain't going to prosper. Let God do it. I'm not going to be here forever. Somebody else is going to take over one day. But while we're here, let's have fun. Well, you don't let me go up and preach. You ain't the preacher. And on the day that you become, I'll be more than glad to move out of the way and let you do it. I mean, you see the men of the church, they are preaching. Sometimes I enjoy just sitting down and listening to them. And they are getting better. Amen. Meanwhile, learn how to be delivered yourself. And then go out and deliver people. And don't leave them out on the street. Bring them in so they can be fed as you. And then they can go out and deliver more people. And this is what the kingdom is all about. The Spirit came upon people since the days of old to capacitate them to advance the kingdom of God. And that's what you and I are called for.
Thank you.
I was at a store recently. And somebody passed by. And something bothered my spirit. And I'm thinking, man, come on, give me a break. It's my day off. Then, person comes back again. And that is smell of demon. Guy says, "Sir, okay? Is everything okay, sir?" "I'm cool, man." Then comes again. I'm quiet. I'm waiting to be helped with an Apple cable for one of my phones. And then the person passed by the fourth time and goes on my back. "Excuse me, can you help me?" I turn around and I look at that person. This person's eye was red as fire. I said, "Get out in the name of Jesus." And then now the salesman stopped and he goes, "Is everything okay here?" He said, "Cool off, brothers. It's all good. It's all good." And the guy said, "Are you okay? Dude, it's okay. What just happened?" I said, "You're free now. Don't go back to the creepy life you had before." "Yes, sir." Salesman comes back. "What was just happened? Can you help me now?" "Well, I'm busy with that person." "Then go back. Leave this thing alone." "Oh, we don't want anybody falling sick here and then the store being sued. If fall sick, I'll bring them back." "Oh, I see you're a healer." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm a servant of the living God. My way out." This man was outside the door. "What's your name?" He said, "Doesn't matter. Just see Jesus." He says, "Thank you." I said, "Thank Jesus." "I didn't do anything." "Jesus did." Yes. He says, "Nobody ever had the courage to do what you did." I said, "I wouldn't have it either. It was the Spirit of God." You've been called and equipped to do the work of God. The source, the power working behind you, it's not yours. It's God's Spirit. Give Him freedom to work. And you're going to find out that's going to be time that you're going to be at Walmart and you feel like praying for somebody. And then all of a sudden that fear comes. Should I go? Maybe it's not God. Kick that doubt to the pits of hell. and go do what you're supposed to do. Because God has not given you a spirit of fear. Huh? But of power, love, and sound mind. Anybody who is doubting, you don't have a sound mind. Doubting God after seeing all that God has done for you. After sitting down under anointing, don't let your mind trick you. Be all that God wants you to be. You're not inferior to nobody. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You've got all the juice, all the power that you need to be useful in the hands of God. I want to go two more scriptures. Brother, may I have Numbers 27, 18. And the Lord says to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you. Amen. Why aren't y'all reading with me? Shall we read it again? And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you. A man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Do you know who Joshua was? Moses' servant. He was the servant of Moses. How do you like that? The Spirit that was in your master now is on you too. Are you with me here? We don't have a relationship here, masters and servants. We are all brothers and sisters. Are you with me here? God tell him, take Josh. He's a man who has the Spirit on him. I want you to lay your hand on him. And you know what? Brother, give me Deuteronomy 34:9. Read it with me. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was... why? So? Wow! Are you getting the point here? The Spirit is the one who gave Joshua the wisdom to do the work that Moses was doing. Are we together so far? I don't want you to become little Pauls, little Pastor Pauls. I want you to be little Jesuses. And if I have to lay hands on you, I will. So that you can go out there and do the work that Jesus does. You know that the job of filling up these seats are not mine. It's yours. And why aren't they filled? Well, some of you didn't know until now. And I hope that none of you are trying to build your own kingdom. Are we together? Moses laid hand on Josh. And then he was full of the Spirit of wisdom. So preach, what is the bottom line here? The bottom line is, make sure that you do not put yourself in a tough spot by placing yourself under the wrong leadership. Josh had to wait 40 years before he took over. Some people can't wait 4 months. And if the title is what you're looking for, I feel sorry for you. You know why? With the title comes responsibility. Not only before God, but before men and before the government. You've got all that you need to do the work of God. Don't do it in isolation. You've got all the power to equip you to do the work of God. Let's do it together. You've got all the power that you need to flourish in the house of God. And in order to be important in the house of God, you don't have to have a title. I'd rather have the Spirit than have the title. And it is my prayer that the anointing that rests upon Marcia and I will be spread all over you so that we can set the city on fire. It is my prayer that the anointing that God has given us, we don't have it on our own, will touch you. And you will go out at Walmart, Food Lion, whatever your shop, lay hands on the sick and get them healed. And when they ask, where do you attend? At BCFC. Come on, let's go. Are you with me here? The ultimate goal of the Spirit works in your life, in my life, is to advance the kingdom's agenda, not our own agenda. May the Spirit of God give you the courage, the boldness, and the desire to remain under the leadership of the Spirit. And the godliness to wait until the time comes if you have to depart. But above all, may the Spirit of God help you to understand that it is not the title that does the job. It is the Spirit that empowers you to do the job. And when you are empowered by the Spirit, you will always have a job well done. May the God of Israel continue to empower you.